Z889, the Gagley Archives. And our special guest tonight, a man that's no stranger to the Gagley Archives over the last 15 years, a man by the name of Steve Hackett. How are you tonight, Steve?
Yeah, fine, Tom. How are you doing?
We're doing real well, doing real well. Once again, congratulations on Wild Orchids finishing in the number 9 spot in our top 100 of 2006. And just a fascinating album. Looks like you pulled some old friends back for this one.
Yeah, you know, there's a few people on it that you might be familiar with. Rob Townsend and my brother, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively new people, like the orchestra.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dick Driver, who I work with... back in the days of Quiet World, which was the album I did before Genesis, so,
yes,
you know, that goes back a long way. That's 1970. So yeah, you know, we're way back in the last century.
Yeah. Now, the album came out in September to rave reviews. You know, a lot of people said that you were able to combine, you know, kind of the momentum of To Watch the Storms along with the Metamorpheus atmosphere as well. And, you know, you did it so well, you brought them both together. And was a lot of fun making this one?
Well, I think so. Maybe the reason for that kind of combined atmosphere was the fact that instead of having keyboards doing those gothic moments in the main, we had the orchestra doing it. So, you know, it's not just over to the guy who's got the greater sort of octave span with his hands. It's divided up to create a more kind of lush picture, along with the harder edge things, of course, you know, the sort of rhythm sections and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a mixture of a lot of different styles. I think it's probably as psychedelic as an album as you're likely to find these days, but I did have a lot of fun doing it. It is vastly detailed. Maybe too much for some people, but, you know, that's what turns me on, is the fine details of things.
Well, that's one thing that I've admired over the years, is that, you know, even going back to the Genesis Revisited CD from 10 years ago, that, you know, you talked about every song on that disc and what it personally meant to you and your personal opinions. And you know, that's one thing that I've said over the years that's been fascinating. Like, I'm attentive to detail, and
right.
I want to know how you feel when you're doing these songs. And you did it again here with Wild Orchids on the special edition. You know, you talk about things on this disc, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I guess it's because I keep on talking about orchestras. I mean, I've been doing quite a lot of these albums where it's either a rock band plus an orchestra or nylon guitar and orchestra. And the more you listen to orchestrations of other people, of course, the great masters and what have you, the more you realize there is room for a lot of details, a lot of stuff going on that you're not necessarily aware of, but it's changing the color very slightly. So you can do that. I mean, I think it also goes back to the days when I was working with Genesis, where often I'd be playing a guitar part with the band that was a non-heroic but an atmospheric kind of
yes.
Idea of just colouring the thing slightly, because, you know, you had this very powerful trio, which the band eventually became, and you got some dense keyboard work and you know, powerful drums and bass, and at times it can be hard to figure out what are you going to do, you know, through that. So it made me think of alternative melodic lines, things that people call counterpoint. Alto parts, anything other than playing the main line. You know, obviously there were times when I was able to step forward and blast away with my golden tone, as it were, but that wasn't always what the band wanted. And I think it stood me in good stead in later years, where it meant that I could think democratically about all the instruments that were available. So there was no point for me just, you know, standing there trying to be heroic the whole time. I figured that, you know, once you've heard one fast lick, you've kind of heard the lot, really, and I don't want to make that a raison d'etre. So I've bowed out of that race and left it to a lot of other guys who make it their thing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing you said, that, you know, you didn't want to always come to the forefront, you know, in your music. And the one song that quickly comes to mind for me is The Steps from Defector.
Right.
I mean, the song brings me to tears because of the, you know, it's like you said, you're not trying to blow people's minds. I mean, you want people to hear the composition itself.
That's
and,
right,
you know, and then there's other times that, you know, you come right out like an Ego and Id, you know, you come out and you rock.
Yeah, well, that's probably, you know, the track that rocks the most obviously on mm-hmm. the album, and it's something that appeared first on my brother's record. And he said, you know, I think ideally he would have liked to have heard it with real drums. So we used a mixture of real and sample on this version of mine. And it really kind of blasts away. And I sort of reinforced what's the obvious guitar riff in there, a figure with string samples as well. So you've got that, and you've got bass pedals, you've got everything. I mean, it's a sort of everything's to the floor on that. Funnily enough, I'm using a very tiny little lamp. I'm using just a Sans amp, and it's just direct inject,
yeah,
plugged in, and that was never played loudly, but it seems to cut through because it's got that edge to it. So you don't always need a big amp. The message there.
What inspired that song? What is the meaning behind it?
Well, the lyrics are written by Nick Clabbon, who's a friend of my brother's, and he's also a close friend of mine, and they were at school together. So Ego and Id, I think, you know, we've got references to the Id. We've got Monsters of the Id and the album, and so I think both of us were talking about that kind of thing, which goes back to, well, the Id, of course. It's Dr. Morpheus, the Forbidden Planet.
Right.
Monster of the Id. So there's a little bit of therapy speak in there.
Yeah, like a battle within the psyche.
That's it. Yeah. So I couldn't actually tell you what it's all about. No. But what I like about the lyric is the fact that in the middle of this absolute hedonistic blast that's going on, the big I am. Keep saying, no, I'm really sorry for all the things I did. This sort of apology in the middle of it as it breaks down, and it hurtles back into it, of course. And,
I relate to it very well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, embracing the animal nature, the hedonistic side, the id, the side that makes us want to rock, I guess.